Hope you got your Bible open up Revelation tonight. Now, Sunday I preached on Thanksgiving, so tonight I'm going back to the book of Revelation, and with Revelation's chapter 13, and I told my wife today, I said, man, Revelation, I get overwhelmed, because when you try to teach it like I'm doing now, there's just so much information, it's hard to disseminate that information on a level where everybody can understand it, because I'm not just preaching, you know, to people that know everything about the Bible. And also I'm putting it on the internet, and so it kind of overwhelms me sometimes, so I just have to keep backing off. And, you know, the old KISS, keep it simple, stupid. And that'll be pretty easy for me. Amen, Joey? Pretty easy. Now, Joey, did y'all get one of these? Brother Danny was handing these out. Danny, did you give them one of these? The Revelation thing? I mean, it's just something to keep in your Bible so you can explain. A lot of people now don't believe in the tribulation period. A lot of people are teaching that the rapture doesn't occur until the middle of the tribulation period. Some of them even are teaching that the rapture doesn't occur until the end of the tribulation period. And the reason they're teaching all this stuff is because they're mixing works with faith. You know, Matthew 24, he tells all these things that's going to happen. And then I forget which verse it is, but he says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And they're taking that to mean during this age, not during the tribulation period after we're gone. And so there's a lot of misunderstanding. And then on top of that, a lot of people are just completely ignoring the book of Revelation now. They just ignore it altogether. They ignore all prophecy. They ignore all teachings of the future because they're so wrapped up in the now and now, they ain't got time for the by and by. And so I'm going to keep on teaching it as long as I can. And so I gave you that. I'm not going to teach out of that, but that's something to keep in your Bible. So when you're talking about the tribulation period, it's divided up with verses. There's rapture at the first, and there's the verses that are in it, you know. The church age is right there before the rapture. It's got verses that go with that. And then the 7 years of God's wrath, that's 3.5 years in Revelation 6:1, to Revelation 10:11. We've already studied that, and that goes along with Matthew 24. And then the middle of the tribulation, Revelation 1:1 through Revelation 13:18. And then down here at the bottom, we're going to talk about that tonight. The Antichrist shows up. And here's all the scriptures about the Antichrist and the beast. And then the last half of the tribulation, 3.5 years, Revelation 14:1 to 19:10. And that's recorded in Matthew 24. That's where Jesus was prophesying. And then you'll see the second coming there in Revelation 19. And Jesus reigns for 1,000 years. And we have the marriage supper at the Lamb right there after he comes back. And so this will help you, okay? You can keep that in your Bible and that will help you. But tonight we're going to turn to Revelation 13:1-8. Revelation 13:1-8. We probably won't even finish that, but we'll try. We'll try. Was Bobby a long-winded preacher Sunday night? Huh? Exciting. Amen. Well, I don't like to leave much because when I let these other guys preach, I'm afraid y'all going to find somebody better than me and replace me. So I can't stay gone much. I come back, look what it looks like. He must run everybody. That's what we'll blame it on. Bobby run them off. Bobby run them off. 13, look at verse 1. 13, look at verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, that's the devil, gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast? who is able to make war with him. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now, these are the tribulation saints. It's not us. It's those that have been saved during the tribulation period. And to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear to hear, let him hear. Now, in these verses here, it's pretty simple if you just look at it. There is some prophecy in there, but basically I had to write some things down so I wouldn't forget them, because there's so much I'll later on say, why didn't I say that? Why didn't I say that? Y'all ever do that? Why didn't I say that? Well, number one, the devil works through human means in verses 1 through 8. There's a man. He's possessed by the devil. The devil's given him his power and his authority. And in this case, they call him the beast. He's a false Christ. He's an antichrist. And listen, the devil is empowering a human being, just like he did Judas. The devil empowered Judas. Satan, listen to this, is always an imitator. He is a counterfeiter, always. And he seeks control by deception. Now, anything God does, just the opposite of that is what the devil would do. Anything God says, just the opposite of that is what the devil would say. Oh, Anton LaVey, back in the 60s, he started the Church of Satan. It was officially recognized by the federal government. And they sprouted up churches all over the country. Some of y'all might remember. A lot of hippies got involved in it. And he wrote a Bible, and he named it the Satanic Bible. And in that Bible, he says, Satanism is always the opposite of Christianity. So, the beast is the future world dictator who makes all these great promises to resolve the national problems that are going on right now. And doesn't it look like it's about time for him to show up? And he's the false prophet. The false prophet will be his propaganda minister. Now, we got some of them already. The Democratic Party has a few. Propaganda. The Nazis invented that. And what they would do, they said, if you'll tell somebody a lie enough, they'll start believing it. And they will. You ever look at anybody and say, how can they believe that? Well, they've heard it over and over and over and over and over and over and over. And after a while, you'll just start believing it. Now, for a time, it will appear that they're succeeding. It will. It'll look like they're taking over the world and they're succeeding. Now, stay with me. I'm getting to something. And they're going to build a world empire, one world empire, one world government with one leader. They're going to build that. And they're going to do it, I think, through the United Nations. And we're going to get that in a minute. But eventually, their world's going to collapse around them, and they're going to be defeated. Now, when Jesus Christ shows up that day, the battle will be over. That'd be it. I've read books. I've heard preachers, you know, saying about the devil being so powerful and all this stuff, you know, and Jesus and the devil fighting. Some of them even say when Jesus died on the cross that he went to hell and fought the devil. No, that's not true. He went to the heart of earth, to Abraham's bosom, which was paradise next door to hell. He didn't go to hell. He went to paradise next door to hell, where the rich man and Lazarus, that little conversation took on, and he led captivity captive. You see, those people in the heart of earth couldn't go to heaven until somebody paid for their sins. And he went down there and he preached to them. He said, I'm the one that came. I'm the one that you've always heard about. I'm the one. They were looking for a coming Savior, but they had to see him and accept him in order to be forgiven by the blood of Jesus and go to heaven. But some people say, you know, the devil and Jesus, and they fight. No, sir. When Jesus shows up, the devil's not got any power. And we're going to see that. In this chapter, we're going to see, right now, we know the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. In this chapter, we're going to see an unholy Trinity. The false prophet, the old beast, the old dragon. Now, look at verse 1 in chapter 13. Look at verse 1. Let me get back over there. Now, he says, I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. Now, this beast is a man, and when he says, I saw him rise up out of the sea, he's talking about the sea of humanity. I don't know if you've ever been to a big city or not, but you go to those big cities, and you look out there, and there's so many people. It's like looking at a sea of people. Maybe on New Year's Eve, you watch the Times Square thing where they drop the ball and they show a picture of all those people. Now, we ain't never seen that many people in one place, but it looks like a sea of humanity. So what God is saying, that this beast is going to rise up out of the sea of humanity. I had read one commentator, that, and the Bible sheds a lot of light on those commentators, and read one commentator that said this was not a man but an organization rising up. But that's not what the Bible says. It says he's a man. And he rose up out of the sea of humanity. Now, I got to think about that. We don't know when Jesus is coming. He said that himself. No man knows the day nor the hour, not even the angels in heaven. Only the Father knows. Amen? We don't know when he's coming. We know he's coming. And now we know there's an Antichrist coming. We don't know when he's coming. We see more signs of his coming than we do the second coming of Christ, because there's less said about the second coming, you know, where you pinpoint the time down, than there is about this. This is going to be a time of world trouble, world calamity. A man is going to rise up out of the sea of mankind, and he's going to get possessed by the devil himself, and he's going to rise quickly to world leadership. Now, when we were younger, there was no 24-hour television. There was no internet. You could call somebody in another country, but not every country. Usually, if we heard news from another country, it took weeks to get here. But now, everything's instant access, and our world is more and more connected. The governments are even more and more connected. Commerce is more and more connected. Everything is more and more connected. Entertainment, everything, more and more connected. What's happening in Brazil today, I can turn on television and see it right now. We can go on the internet and see live pictures from anywhere in the world, see live pictures right now. Y'all know that? And so now the world don't seem to be quite as large as it used to be, because this sea of humanity, we can now see it, see. What is there, 7 billion people on planet Earth now? Is it 7? 7 billion? Something like that. Yeah, 7 billion. When most of us were born, there wasn't even 4 billion yet. And so the population's doubling and doubling and doubling. And here, hey, the world, they're in a mess. You got wars in Iraq and Iran and Afghanistan and Pakistan and Northern Africa and the middle of Africa and South America and the middle of South America and Central America. And all this is going on right now, and everybody's looking for somebody to fix it. Is that true? Say amen. Everybody's looking for somebody to fix it. We're so fed up in this country, we turned against organized government and elected a man who's never served in not one office in his life, because we're fed up with all the government and we're looking for a man to fix it. Am I telling the truth? Have you ever thought about this? Are y'all cold? You want to bump up the heat bump it up one notch. Listen, hey, have you ever thought about this? He might be alive right now. In this sea of humanity, everything looked like it's set up, right? Everything looked like Jesus could come at any minute, right? Everything looked like the trumpet could sound at any minute and we'd be out of here. The world's in turmoil. The governments are in turmoil. The finances are in turmoil. Rebellion and wars and rumors of war. Just this past week, there's a 7-point-something earthquake again off the coast of Japan. This past week, there was another earthquake down South America. There's floods and there's famines and there are wars and rumors of wars. Am I telling the truth? And men's hearts are failing them for fear. Am I telling the truth? And so I got to think about this today. This guy could be alive and well right now. Brother Jeff, he could be out there somewhere right now. Now, before this is through, I'm going to tell you where he's coming from. Now, I may not get to it tonight. Before this is through, I'm going to tell you the only place he can come from. I'm going to tell you. It ain't the White House. Even though it looks like it sometime, amen. But this man, I think he's alive and well right now. I don't know if he knows who he is. He probably doesn't. Judas didn't know he was who he was until the devil entered into him, and nobody else knew who he was. And this man, I doubt if he knows who he is. But one day the devil's going to enter into him. We see these old scary movies, you know, people devil, demon possessed. But very seldom in the history of time, you never heard of but one man being possessed by Satan himself. Judas. And this man right here coming. I think he's out there now in this sea of humanity. And I think the old devil, old Slewfoot, the old dragon, I think he's waiting for just the right time. By the way, he knows when the time is. He knows it's got to be after the trumpet sounds. The devil knows it's got to be after the rapture of the church. He knows that man won't have his way as long as we're here. Amen? That last devil almost got him voted into office as president. She didn't get her way because we're here. Amen. Come on. I said it over and over and over. I said this. I believe that the majority of Americans, they may not be our kind of Christians. They may not even be Christians. But there's enough God-fearing Americans left in this country to stop that mess and vote in somebody else. And we did it. We did it. And the devil knows that. We know, he knows he couldn't get away with that stuff, and the Holy Spirit wouldn't let him get away with it. But I think this man's out there right now. Now, I want you to, now remember, it's not an organization. It's a man. It's not a church. It's a man. It's not a religion. It's a man. It's going to be devil possessed. Now, look down here. I got to think about this. He is a mixture. He's a mixture. He has seven. He's represented by seven heads. Now, did you know, and I can't remember the other name, there's two cities in the world. One I can't remember, so that tells you how important it is. But there's only two cities in the world that sit on seven hills. And Rome is one of them. Rome sits on seven hills. Nashville, Tennessee. He could be living there singing country music. Amen. I've heard some devils sing country music. But look at his horns in that verse. He had 10 horns. Now that's political. That represents, those horns represent authority. And that's a gathering thing, and that's a charge saying those horns represent authority. So 10 political rulers over 10 nations. That's who he represents. Now, did you know that the European Union used to be 10 nations? I think now it's up to like 18 or 19, but they're dropping out like flies. And did you know, I think it'll get back down to 10. You know why? That's the old Roman Empire. Europe, most of Europe, is the old Roman Empire. See? And look at Daniel chapter 2. Look at Daniel chapter 2, if you will, real quick. Daniel 2, 41. I'm not going to get very far tonight. Daniel 2, I think it's verse 41 and 44. Daniel 2, let me find it. Yeah. Look at 41. And whereas thou sawest the feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided, but there shall be in it of the strength of iron, forasmuch as thou sawest the iron mixed with miry clay. And he goes on, he describes that statue. But I want you to look at verse 44. And in the days of these kings, talking about that statue representing all these different kings, in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. In other words, in the prophecy of these 10 kingdoms set up to rule the world like the Roman Empire was, and like this old lying Christ, this Antichrist, he's going to rule from there. I think he's going to rule from Rome. Rome is the religious capital of the world. You know what Martin Luther said? Not Martin Luther King now, but the real Martin Luther in Germany. He was the first one to rebel against the Catholic Church. The real church had to go underground because Rome had taken over the real church. So real believers had to go underground, hide, because they'd be killed for believing the Bible, and they wouldn't obey the Pope and all that stuff. And when Martin Luther began to read the Bible, he wasn't supposed to. And as he read the Bible, he got over to Hebrews where it says the just shall live by faith. And he got saved that day. And when he got saved, he sat down and he thought, well, what do I really believe? And he found 99 things out of the Word of God that he believes. And he wrote them down. And he was a priest in a church in Germany. And he nailed those 99 things up on church door, and he told everybody, this is what we believe. This is what we're supposed to believe. This is what I believe. And the Catholic Church got mad at him because first thing was, salvation is by grace through faith alone, not of works. Ephesians 2:8-9. For by grace you are saved through faith, that not of yourself. Now, he nailed that up there, and then those people come, and people started getting saved in Germany. And the Pope sent for him. He said, oh, Martin Luther's lost his mind. He's preaching out of the Bible. He's supposed to be teaching this stuff that our church teaches, and the Bible doesn't teach that. And somebody go get him. And for about 3 years, he kept sending after him, and Martin Luther wouldn't go. And during those 3 years, people kept getting saved because he was preaching the Bible now, see. And finally, the Pope sent word to the king of Germany and said, if you don't send Martin Luther over here, I got an army lined up on this side of Germany, and I got an army lined up on this side of Germany, and they're going to come in and take over your country and kill you. So the king went to Martin Luther and said, the Pope's going to see you or kill all of us. And he said, well, I'll go see him. So he went over there in Rome to see the Pope. And when he got there, they said he walked in and he said, usually they would kiss his ring, then they'd kiss his toe. He didn't do it. And he said, what can I do for you, your hellishness? And the Pope got mad at him. And Martin Luther said, you're an Antichrist. He thought he was the Antichrist. Now, that Pope wasn't, but I think one will be. But we ain't got into that. I'm getting ahead of myself, ain't I? But hey, listen. This is a city that sits on 7 hills, and it's in control of 10 nations, the old Roman Empire, and they're getting back together. England and France and Italy and all these nations are getting back together. And I just saw on the news day before yesterday that all these nations, I think there's about 20 of them now in the European Union, they've gotten together for financial reasons, and they tore all their borders down. And now all these Muslims are flooding their countries because they don't have any borders. They're rebuilding their fences, and they're rebuilding. You ever heard anybody say that? Put up a wall. They're putting up walls to stop these Muslims from taking over their country. Muslims are moving in and raping their women and beating up the men and robbing and stealing and won't work and everything else. And so now the European Union's falling apart. And so now Russia is rebuilding its army, and it's invaded Ukraine, and it's invaded a couple other countries, and now Russia is building up the old Soviet Union again, and Europeans are scared. So you know what they did the other day? They 10 of them got together, and they said, we're going to make a European army. A European Union army. That's what we're going to have. We're not counting on NATO anymore because Obama didn't come when we needed him. He didn't send his troops. So we're just going to have to take care of ourselves. So now we're going to build a European Union army. Can y'all not see where that stuff's headed? Now, he has authority, and I'm going to quit on this. Look at verse 2. He has authority. We'll have to go next week. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard. It didn't say it was a leopard. It said like a leopard. You see that? And his feet were as, not were, but as the feet of a bear. And his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon, that's the devil. You remember the old dragon there that we'd read about in the previous chapter that took all those angels out of heaven with him? And the dragon gave him his power and his seat, that's his throne, and great authority. Now this beast is going to have great authority. And he's going to get it because it's going to be a combination of those world powers we've been talking about. That leopard, if you could see an old flag of Greece, it was a leopard on it. That bear, there was another two countries that ran together. They don't even exist anymore after World War I. But it was called Medo-Persia. Medo-Persia. That's where Iran and Turkey and all those are now. And this flag had a bear on it. Can y'all see where this is leading? And then the lion, if you could see the Babylonian Empire, and Babylon was part of Iraq. Did y'all know that Saddam Hussein, I saw it, old Joseph Chambers from up in Charlotte went over and took pictures of Saddam Hussein before the war was rebuilding the city of Babylon. You remember the city of Babylon in the Old Testament? He was rebuilding it because he said, I'm going to rule the world. Somebody's going to rule the world because of us. And their flag, that flag, if you go look at it, that Babylonian flag now, it had a lion. There's your leopard, there's your bear, and there's your lion. You see these combination of world powers, they're going to give the beast his authority to do whatever he wants to do. They're going to say, we're going to make you ruler of the world. We're going to back you. Anything you need, we'll help you. You need armies, we got them. You need guns, we got them. You need bombs, we got them. We're going to take care of you. Now that tells me that's, hey, some of the Middle Eastern and Far Eastern countries are going to back him. So he's going to get great authority. He's going to have great power, see. And boy, I got thinking about that. He's going to be swift like a leopard. He's going to be strong like a bear. And he's one of the most intelligent, they tell me, one of the most intelligent animals on planet Earth is a lion. He's going to be intelligent as a lion. It's going to be a bad dude. He's going to be a bad dude. He's going to be a combination of powers. It says that they're going to look at it again. The dragon gave him his power. Now, I don't read Greek. I took a Greek class in Bible college for 2 days and I quit. I said, I'm not smart enough to do this. I got a King James Bible. I believe that the Lord preserved His Word in English through the King James Bible. I just can't handle this Greek. So I dropped out of class. But this word power, they tell me that word power in our English language came from the Greek word. It originated in the Greek word dunamis. You know what else dunamis says? Dynamite. Same word used for dynamite. So he's going to get great power. And listen, unhindered power turned loose on planet Earth. Now, a lot of people have tried it. Hitler tried it. Mussolini tried it. The Japanese emperors, they tried it. Stalin tried it. A lot of the Russian leaders tried it, but none of them ever succeeded. But this guy's going to have the backing of the world powers, and he's going to succeed. And that, all these countries are going to give him unlimited power. You see, our president don't have unlimited power. He really can't do it, especially when it comes to war. He can't do anything without the Congress. We'll lock his hiney up and throw him in jail. We can still do that. But this man here, he's going to have unlimited power. And it says this. Look at that verse 2 again. It says that, and his seat. You know what that seat means? Throne. He's going to have a throne. Now, he's not going to rule the world like a president and get people's opinion. He's going to rule the world like a monarch. Yeah, he's going to do what he wants to, see. And then it says this in verse 2, and had great authority. Now, you know what? And this is going to surprise you. Now, those countries are going to give him great authority, but he wouldn't have this authority except for what Jesus told Pilate. What did Pilate? Pilate told Jesus, said, "Don't you know that your life and your death is in my hands?" And Jesus looked up at him and said, "You'd have no power except it were for my Father in heaven. He's the one that gave you that power." And did you know God's the one giving the Antichrist his power? God, people look at wars and stuff, you know, and earthquake, and they say God ain't in that. Yes, it couldn't happen if God wasn't in it. And God's going to give the Antichrist great authority and great power over all the world, and he's going to turn that man loose who's full of the devil and has the power of the devil and the power of the world, and he's going to turn that man loose on this whole world. That's why it's called time of Jacob's trouble. That's why we call it tribulation period. This man's going to do it, buddy. He's going to do it. He's going to have all authority. He's going to have all power. And I'm going to quit right there. We'll go to verse 3 next week. But I'm telling you, I hope we don't get there. I hope the trumpet sounds this week. Then you worry about the Antichrist. I won't worry about him. You worry about the dragon. I ain't worried about him. Amen. I'm looking for the trumpet. I'm not going to see that booger. People spent... Did I say booger? People used to say the booger man's going to get you. I'm not worried about that booger. You know why? I'm out of here before he ever gets here. Because God loves his children. He's not going to let us see this stuff. He's only given us the information so we can pass it on to the rest of the world so they can get ready and not go too. Then when he does show up, you know what? Some people that wouldn't believe, they're going to look at him. And I'm going to show it to you next week. Some of you think, well, if they see him, they'll get saved. No, they won't. The Bible says God's going to send them a strong delusion that they should believe a lie, because when they had the truth, they received it not. I've even had people tell me that, Brother Ron. Well, when I see all this happening, I'll get saved. I said, no, you won't. You're going to be deceived. This man's going to have so much power and so much charisma. And you say, oh, it wouldn't happen. Man, have you not looked at these big old giant super churches and mega churches and all that? And you look at them and you wonder, how do people go through that? How do people go to that? How do they listen to that guy? He's 45 years old, dresses like he's 15. He's got a 15-year-old's haircut. He wears 15-year-old's clothes. His vocabulary is that of a 15-year-old, and you're sitting there thinking, are these people not intelligent enough to see what this guy is? Yeah. Well, if you think they fall for people like that, what are they going to do when the Antichrist comes? They're going to worship him. Intelligent people, educated and uneducated, upward and lower, they're going to fall for it. Thank God you and I got enough sense, and God gave us a book. And we can read that thing and say, man, I'm glad I'm not going to be here. I hope you don't either. And we can share that with people. This is not just to acknowledge that we're right and everybody else is wrong. This is for us to go into all the world and preach the gospel and say, look, you don't want to be here when this guy shows up. You say, they won't listen. That's probably what they said about me and you too. I got to reading stuff like this. I started having nightmares. I couldn't sleep at night. I started buying religious books off the shelf at the grocery store, man. People started coming by my house. I was listening to Jehovah's Witness, Seventh-day Adventist. I'd listen to anybody that would talk about it, because the Lord had opened my was beginning to open my eyes and was convicting me and drawing me to Himself. And thank God, some real believers got to me. Amen. A lot of people's going to be deceived. I'm glad y'all ain't one of them. Amen. Father, help us tonight.